From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 74 of Little Brother for the 26th of February, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Last week, I mentioned that the U.S. Justice Department was warning that the tensions between Russia and Ukraine may result in a greater number of cyber attacks on places allied with Ukraine, say, for example, us. On Thursday morning, as the news was breaking that Russia had actually invaded Ukraine, CISA has followed up by issuing an advisory for U.S.-based organizations to tighten up their cybersecurity right away and to brace for attacks from Russia. They have published a summary of the advice with links to all of the necessary supporting information on the CISA website at www.cisa.org/shields-up. I have posted a link to this in the program notes as well, and I think that both of my listeners are here in the U.S., but just in case there are some from outside of our borders, you can still find the information at that address, and I would encourage you to do so. A couple of days prior to Thursday's excitement, New York State Governor Kathy Hochul held a press conference to announce that the state was opening a Joint Security Operations Center in New York City. The JSOC is based in Brooklyn, with teams comprised of both on-premises staff and staff strategically scattered across the state. In theory, it will function as a cybersecurity command center coordinating threat intelligence and incident response between county and municipal governments across the state. According to the press release, this is the first such statewide effort in the nation. 3G mobile networks are about to go the way of the dodo. According to a notice from the Federal Communications Commission, if your mobile phone is more than a few years old, you may need to upgrade your device before your mobile provider shuts down its 3G network in order to avoid losing service. This is going to mostly impact older phones, of course. Additionally, T-Mobile is shutting down the Sprint network entirely. So here's the rundown. For AT&T, 3G service ends at the end of this month, but 4G and 5G will remain available. For Verizon, 3G ends at the end of the year, and again, 4 and 5G will remain available. For T-Mobile users with old Sprint phones, 3G service will end at the end of March, and 4G at the end of June, after which Sprint phones will not be usable. For T-Mobile users with T-Mobile phones, 3G will end on July 1st. However, 4 and 5G, and strangely enough, 2G, will continue to be available. If your phone is from a different provider than the ones I've just listed, check with them to see which network your phone is using. It is probably no surprise that Facebook has a problem with app tracking transparency. Actually, the exact word that they have used to describe it is harmful. The lack of tracking has meant that Facebook have been unable to target ads to specific audiences. Aww. To quote Bruce Banner, I see this as an absolute win. While Facebook is having problems with Apple's new harmful pro-user behavior, TikTok didn't seem to have such a problem. Why, you may ask? Well, it seems like TikTok has figured out how to get around it. Essentially, they have somehow managed to evade code audits and to change the behavior of the app at will. The RAP claims to have obtained two studies on the topic that confirm this behavior, but did not link to the studies or name their authors. If true, my hypothesis would be that this is similar to the self-altering behavior of diesel-powered Volkswagen cars from a few years ago, in that the app is able to detect if it is being audited or not, and behave accordingly. Q has been identified. At least that's the current belief. The mysterious shitposter has caused a great deal of harm by planting the seeds of conspiracy theories about a worldwide cabal of satanic, cannibalistic child sex abusers and sex traffickers running the governments of the world. Well, two independent teams of linguists have used pattern-matching techniques called stylometry to match the writing of Q to that of known posters and concluded that they are actually two Qs. The first is Paul Ferber, a South African software developer who posted as Q until 2018, after which the role was taken over by Ron Watkins, who owned the 8chan message board where Q posted until its demise, and the 8kun board that took its place. Naturally, both men have denied being Q. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means? It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. The answer this week is Credit Suisse. Swiss banks are either famous or infamous, or even both at the same time, for the degree to which they keep the affairs and sometimes even the identities of their clients under fairly tight control. In the case of Credit Suisse, there was a mad scramble on Sunday to contain the fallout that resulted from the data of 18,000 customers leaking out. The compromised accounts allegedly carry the equivalent of approximately $100 billion with a B U.S. dollars. While some of the accounts have been opened in the last decade, many of them actually dated all the way back to the 1940s. Clients allegedly included criminals, human rights abusers, and sanctioned individuals. Now, this isn't the first time that Credit Suisse has been in eau chaude. That's hot water for those of you who don't speak French. In 2014, they were involved in assisting rich Americans to avoid paying their taxes, an infraction that cost them $2.6 billion, again with a B, dollars in fines. And last year, they paid $475 million in penalties for their part in a bribery scheme in Mozambique. The bank have stated that they have closed about 90% of the accounts and claim to be comfortable that the remainder have been properly vetted. While we're on the topic of pwns, here's a follow-up from last week's Pwn of the Week. Distributed denial of secrets now have a fifth tranche of data from GiveSendGo as of Wednesday. As with the previous tranches, they are limiting distribution to journalists and researchers due to the data containing a great deal of personally identifiable information. To a degree, for better or for worse, probably worse, we as a society have largely accepted to the fact that we are being tracked when we are online. Sure, there are a number of us, such as yours truly, who have taken some pains to prevent this, but it still happens, and it is occasionally spooky. We can argue about whether or not this fatalism belongs in the digital world, but I will tell you here and now that it does not belong in the analog world. ALPR has entered the chat. When we drive, we have a license tag on the back and in most states also on the front of our cars. That kind of makes sense, and they're usually put to good use tracking down cars from crime scenes or billing for toll roads. Well, some less than wonderful uses exist, of course. I know at least one friend of mine has reported seeing cars equipped with license plate readers trawling the parking lot where he works, presumably looking for, well, I don't know really. Even without access to the DMV database, the address that corresponds to a license plate is information that is often easily determined by trawling residential neighborhoods in a similar fashion during the evening or overnight. If the car is parked there, the owner probably lives there. But we can choose not to drive, right? Well, technically true. Public transit is available in many places, and in some places it's even pretty good, but Fare cards have entered the chat. Yeah, hello, fare cards. So I can remember a time when you could step onto a city bus, drop 3/4 into a hopper, and the bus would take you anywhere along the route. For a discounted price, you could go to a grocery store or a bodega and buy 10 tokens for $7, taking a nickel off the fare. Woohoo! Next came fare cards. These would embody a variety of special discounts. You could, for instance, get one that would let you have unlimited rides on weekdays or all week long or whatever. While you could buy the card anonymously, you would still be using the same card day in and day out, allowing for a pattern to be established, and then... Fare apps have entered the chat. This chat is starting to get crowded. If the tracking ability of an app is not already apparent to you, then you've not been paying attention. But you can still walk, right? Facial recognition has entered the chat. All right, who keeps inviting all of these guys? Well, at the very least, facial recognition is banned in some cities. San Diego comes to mind. And New Orleans! New Orleans bans facial recognition, right? Well, guess what, folks? These popular bans are starting to get rolled back. Back in episodes 60 and 66, I spoke about Clearview AI. They are working to catalog the faces of all of humanity and to be able to recognize anyone anywhere. Lofty goals, since they've been banned from operating in France and Australia for violating privacy laws and may be facing sanctions in the EU. Well, it turns out that like many industries, they have lobbyists. Clearview AI have engaged the services of the Klein Johnson Group to persuade lawmakers that they're not so bad. Sadly, it seems to be working. Remember I mentioned New Orleans? Well, it looks like Mayor LaToya Cantrell is making moves to lift the ban on facial recognition and other surveillance technologies, and my sources tell me that there are rumblings of a similar lifting in San Diego. Kill it. Kill it now, and kill it a lot. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and The Crowded Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Fongaboo, Seth Hall, and Knight Rider 007 for story ideas. Additional thanks to Mystere 73, Sky Raider, V-Spa, and Azrael for lending their voices. Aww. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. In episodes 69, 70. Okay, let's try that again. They are not so bad, and damn it, the cat meowed. I was so surprised I made it through that line that I actually forgot where I was going. Damn it.